Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. It's me again. You know what? I was thinking about Nancy Pelosi, and as soon as she became Sneaker of the House, the very first move she made was she demanded that she got from the Air Force the biggest jet available. And I said, well, you know, I could understand that. She has a big entourage, and they got to stuff a lot of people on those seats. You know, everybody that she owes favors to and everybody who owes her favors. But I had no idea the reason she wanted the bigger jet was to go to Syria so that she could lick the boots of the biggest bomber in the Middle East, Bashar al-Assad, the guy that's responsible for the murder of Maronite Christians in Lebanon, and the guy that's responsible for the assassination and blowing Prime Minister Hariri into a hole so big that they had to send ropers down to get the body out, what was left of it. Unbelievable. And this guy is the master distributor for Iranian IEDs that are killing our troops every day. He is responsible for more dead Iraqis and more dead Americans than anybody else. And what is the first move that this woman makes upon seizing a government office? She flies to Syria along with her entourage of Kucinich the communist and Banzai the baby's Nelson. He went a month before to warm up the seat. And if you look up those people, just put in Nancy Pelosi goes to Syria, Senator Nelson goes to Syria, Jimmy Carter goes to Syria, and you'll notice they're all sitting in the same chair around the same Ottoman table. It's like it must be the Democrat Ottoman. What a disgrace. She never visited the troops. She only voted not to count their absentee ballots, and she voted no cranberry sauce at Christmas. Yet she went down the street and watched the IEDs being delivered into Iraq to kill American troops. So, I'm taking my vengeance out. I'm writing a song about Uday Pelosi, and it's called Nancy Pelosi Just Wrote Me a Letter. So hang in there. I'll do it for you. Is it 8 o'clock yet in the morning? Has the bars opened? Yeah, the bars are open, but be careful going in. Don't step on Ted Kennedy or Leaky Leahy. Hi, you boys and girls. It's Captain Boycott. And there's a lot of talk about the Democrats have taken over and they're spending money like it's never going out of style. I understand that Nancy Pelosi wants a C-257 or something like that, a big Boeing. So I thought I would sing a song about it. And there's an old Joe Cocker song called My Baby Just Wrote Me a Letter. So I'm going to do it for you in my American brogue. We may need a ticket for an aeroplane. Mirtha refuses to take a fast train. Humble days are gone, the Dems are carrying on. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. She don't care how much money you throw away. She's got to get back to San Francisco every day. 2 hours in D.C., and then she's going home. Stick around, the story gets better. She wants a jumbo jet that can fit her lifestyle. Yay, 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 yay. One with a shower and a 42-seat aisle that can take her away. Listen, Mr. Taxpayer, it's only 300 G's a ride. And the 42 toilet seats are made of Naugahyde. Democrat days are back, and you're paying the tax. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. I stand in line for an aeroplane. Half my country's using cocaine. Humble days have vanished. Christians are being banished. Pelosi just wrote me a letter. She is holding back money for the troops in Iraq. But for her entourage, the masseuse is back. Look first, madam, at what you've done. Why not get a dragon ship and kill everyone? Give me my ticket for my aeroplane. Search that imam on the express lane. 9/11 days are here. I'm crying in my beer. Pelosi just wrote me a letter.
Thank you.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. It is 10:18 a.m. in New York City. It is a Sunday. The sun is shining, but the wind chill factor is still too cold for me. I like it when the birds sweat. I'm just watching this AIG and Attorney General investigation into AIG. Like, we never knew what happened, so we're organizing a posse now. And what a bunch of phonies. I don't trust Mario Cuomo's son. He's just trying to make a name for himself. And he'll use anybody to do it. How'd you like to have him for a friend? And they interviewed the Connecticut Attorney General, who says he's not going to give out the names and addresses of the people that got bonuses from AIG. Stop the press. I'm going to say it again. AIG transferred, I think, around $300 billion overseas to overseas banks, about 12 of them that we know about. You don't think that they've already moved their money and are in the process of moving their money because they're going to pull out of the United States when the United States tries to seize them, do you? Do you see they're laying the groundwork now? They're going to hold all corporations responsible and accountable to the federal eye. Well, you know what's coming next? The seizing of Exxon by Chuck Schumer. And let me tell you something. If I was a Sheikh Maktoum right now in the UAE, I would be inviting all these corporations to come and set up their headquarters in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi and live tax-free for the next 100 years. And he can turn Dubai into the Switzerland of the world. And we're not doing our homework. And never forget that these rats who now want to get into corporate treasuries have already sacked the United States Treasury. And they're the same rats that in the 1960s, after they came back from Woodcrap, decided they were going to be in government, and they started EPA violations and drove all the manufacturing to China, who they now support and get contributions, political contributions from. Just ask Bill Clinton. Yeah. So they destroyed the industry in the United States, and now they're closing the offices. We're in trouble, and your government did it to you. Your government is the culprit. It is not the sheriff or the posse that's riding to the rescue. Your government is the Jesse James of modern economic history. So you better think about that, because you're going to see a lot of companies exiting the United States. And I believe that the AIG has already indicated that by transferring lots of money overseas. And that's what they will do. And again, I'm going to tell you that the United Arab Emirates can be negotiated with to move your corporate headquarters with all kinds of benefits, all kinds of tax-free benefits. And this country has already destroyed the industry in the United States, what's left of it. I hear a lot of people saying no mercy for General Motors, and a comment was made at dinner last night that there used to be a saying in the United States, and one Democrat who told me we were going to be a service industry with empty chairs and desks, I said, there's a saying that as General Motors goes, so goes the country. And he goes, that's an old saying. Yeah. And you know what else is an old saying? In God we trust. Yeah. That's an old saying. He says, yeah. I says, what? Would it died in the 60s? He goes, no, it died in the 40s. I said, in the 40s, General Motors was making tanks and winning World War II. Oh, well, that's nothing. Yeah, that's nothing. And I see, sadly, this morning that there's three cops in Oakland, California who are dead. They're all young guys, just starting out with families. And they're all dead because of a traffic stop. And there's a fourth one who's had a brain injury, was shot in the brain, and they don't know if he's going to survive. And so now I'd like to hear from the people who think the cops make too much money. Yeah. And we'll give you a 30-second head start for a taillight bulb being out. Give me a break. So we'll play a little tribute to the police. And I'm warning you that whatever this government is doing, it's reaching into the treasuries of all corporations. And the demonstrators that are showing up in front of people's houses who got bonus money are from Acorn. And I don't think any one of them had a job, but they're getting a paycheck for this tour of duty. And it's a real scam. And who's behind sending Acorn people to corporate executives' houses? Is it George Soros? Yeah, isn't that interesting? A billionaire is leading the crusade against business people. And isn't Acorn an arm of the Democrat Party? Aren't they the brown shirts of the Democrat Party? The brown t-shirts? Yeah, we're losing our country. There's a civil war coming, man, as sure as God made little green apples. You don't see it, but let me tell you, this guy is Obama bin Laden, and his minions are hell-bent on taking this country down and rebuilding it into the hammer and sickle image of the Stalin era. Yeah, there are people here from the Soviet Union who escaped from the Soviet Union who say they've seen this before. Guess where? Yeah. Okay. You want to play games? Let's see what happens. We were joking last night about somebody we know and love who we're not sure if they ever graduated high school, and we've never seen her diploma. And I happen to say, well, what's the big deal? We got a president and nobody's seen his working papers. I also caught an interview with George Bush and Hank Paulson on how in the last months of the Bush era that they saw this problem hit Bush between the eyes. He had no idea. And as we're watching him explain how he fell into the ambush, the economic ambush, and that he said he was going to do the best he could under the circumstances. And my wife said to me, "Now, you hear him talking. Who do you believe? You believe him or Obama bin Laden?" I said, "I believe Bush. With all his shortcomings, he's fairly honest." And I can't say the same for the Party of Death, because they're going to hurt us. They're going to hurt us big time. They are now expanding on the divide and conquer theory. They're going to pit more people against each other than the Romans did when they conquered the known world. And that's a typical Democrat tactic, divide and conquer. We may be praying that Bush comes back. Come back, George. We need you. It's too late. He rode off into the sunset.
Do not forsake me, oh my darling. On this our wedding day. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Wait, Lord. I do not know what fate awaits me. I only know I must be brave. Or lie a coward. reason. I'm not afraid of death, but oh, what shall I do if you leave me? Do not forsake me, oh my darling. You made that promise as a bride. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Although you're grieving, don't think of leaving. Now that I need you by my side, but wait a long.
USA now stands for the useless of A. In the 40s, we kicked the crap out of all our enemies on four different continents, came home and built an industrial empire. In the 50s, we watched the Russians pull ahead of us in the space exploration game. In the early 60s, JFK told us we'd have a man on the moon. And then Neil Armstrong walked on the moon representing the only power in the world that can stand on its own two feet, the United States. There's a joke about Neil Armstrong. That what did he say when he landed on the moon? And everybody knows that he said one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. Did they teach that in communist cucumber school today? He also said, which nobody knows about, today's your lucky day, Mr. Goldfarb. And the story goes that when Neil Armstrong was a young teenager, he was delivering newspapers in his neighborhood, and he passed the Goldfarb bedroom window, and he heard Mrs. Goldfarb say, "Sex? You want sex? You can have sex when the newspaper boy walks on the moon." And so, when he landed on the moon, he said, "Today's your lucky day, Mr. Goldfarb." But it's really sad to see what's going on today. We're a nation of self-defeatists. We do not take the lead. We're not out front anymore. We're behind the eight ball. We're playing catch-up. We can't even stay employed. We've destroyed the entrepreneurship of the country. They tell you that small business is the backbone of America, and then they break its spine. And every once in a while, they'll bring out a token small business guy and let him say something, and then they go back to putting him out of business. I have never seen so many government regulations. I could tell you stories that would make you throw up. I watched our entire industry go to China. I watched the American industry, all the smokestacks. They didn't offer them scrubbers. The government never gave them tax incentives to clean up their foundries. They said, "Let's make some money on these guys," like the government's making money on you now with traffic tickets. The police used to be out there to enforce the laws of safety. Now they're out there to make a buck on your mistake. $100 in New York for any kind of moving violation. Yeah, and the cops have quotas. And if they don't do good, they get lousy details. If they don't bring in the revenue, they get lousy details. And that's how we're fighting crime in America. But speaking of crime, a drug problem, forget about it. One out of five Americans has a drug problem. And there's nobody, the war on drugs is gone. As a matter of fact, every time I sit down, I hear somebody else talking about legalizing it. Yeah, isn't that great? We're going to legalize it. All our vices eventually will be legalized and taxed. Okay, so having said that,
I'm watching my president, who is now reversing the American policy on dealing with terrorists, and he's making all the terrorists his friends. And he, on the anniversary of Nowruz, is that it, N-A-W-R-U-Z? The it's like Iranian Christmas. On the anniversary, he greeted the Iranian people and said, you can do anything you want to us. Yeah, you can have nukes, it's all right. Nukes are good. And he read them a poem. And then he closed with a blessing in Arabic. They speak Farsi, and but he doesn't know Farsi. He only knows Arabic. So he gave him the salam alaikum, alaikum wa salam, adios amigo. Yeah, I can hear it now. Press 5 for English and 6 for Farsi. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's turning the other cheek. Well, it don't work that way with the Iranians. The Iranians don't want him to turn the other cheek. They just want him to bend his neck so they can cut his head off. And he didn't bring up the fact that the Iranians murdered 241 Marines in Beirut, and that doesn't count the American embassy bombing in Beirut, which nobody counts. And that doesn't count the torture and murder of CIA station chief Buckley in Beirut. And I got to tell you a sad story. There was a guy at the Beirut barracks bombing. His name was Chapura. He was from New York. And he survived the Beirut barracks bombing. But Al-Qaeda caught up with him in New York City on 911. He was a fireman who went in to rescue some of the 3,000 people who were crushed and immolated in 1.5 minutes when the buildings came down. And we all stood there and said, oh, my goodness, look what happened here. Yeah. And the only guy that paid them back for it was GW, who was accused of being a warmonger. And they threatened him if he used 911 footage to get reelected, they would sue him. The communists would sue him. That's what Bush's big mistake. I would have shoved 911 down everybody's throat right up until today. On the milk containers, on the beer cans, there would be a 911 horror pictures. You would not forget 911. Not until 3,000 Americans were avenged. And every other American that's been killed by a Russian order taker. Yes, my friends, AK-47s are Russian weapons. And anywhere there is a terrorist, there's a Russian order taker filling the order for the AK-47s. And the bullet sales are phenomenal because they shoot them up in the air at weddings and funerals. And the Soviets have been killing us for a long time, and the only guy that did anything about it was Charlie Wilson. That's the name I was trying to remember the other night. Charlie Wilson's war. And it goes to show you how much one congressman can get out of Congress. Yeah. And if we didn't have the military, we'd have a balanced budget. Yeah, you'd have a balanced budget, and the only people that would be making money would be Caterpillar, because bulldozer sales would be up for the mass graves. Yeah, schmuck. Well, let me give you a tune that will warm the cockles of your heart. And this is my tribute to the United States Marine Corps. The real frontline troops. Not that the 10th Mountain Division doesn't hold its own weight either. You know what I'm talking about. The guys on the front line, the guys that are pulling guard duty. The guys that are out there have to be on their toes 24/7. The New York City Police Department, the Oakland, California Police Department, all police departments, the fire department, and the post office. If it wasn't for the post office, we'd be taken over a long time ago. as I said, if we wanted to win the war in the Middle East, we should have sent all postal workers. It would have been over in about a week. Hang in there. Bartender, play Vengen Vengen. In case you didn't recognize the language, but the melody should have clued you in. It's Arabic. It is not a Farsi. Now, if you want to hear the number one a song that is played in Iran underground, I will give it to you right now.
What makes my heart turn upside down and my head goes spinning,
spinning.
Round and round. It only happens when I'm with you. What makes me count the days gone by, then never,
never,
never heave a sigh. It only happens when I'm with you. As that I'm living in a wonderland, and I can't seem to understand. And when the tears fall from my eyes, then I
you heard me mention the 40s and the four continent of victory on the United States. And never forget that the United States citizens were prepared to give up a million lives to secure a peace. And thank God they didn't have to do it. Thanks to Harry Truman and a Fat Man and Little Boy. God bless a Fat Man and Little Boy for saving a million American lives. So, I told you I'd give you a tribute to the Marine Corps. And I'm going to give you that. Before I give you that, I'm going to give you... You know, you ever see these guys when they're infatuated with a woman, they'll do anything, they send flowers. They stand underneath her window with a mariachi band, reading poetry. I do it with more panache.
Disconnected. Let's see what we got here. Done. Oh, what did I do? I cut it off? Maybe I picked the wrong time. Yeah, something's wrong. On live now, but I'm not hearing anything. So, let me see. Let me see what I can do here. you ever notice that when the Democrats bring out a harpooner, they never let them stay out in the front or too long? They throw the harpoon, they do the stab in the back, and then they retreat into the crowd. And then you'll see, you won't hear from them for a while, and then out back they come again. And it looks like Elliot Spitzer is back on the scene, a client number nine. Yeah, see, he's playing the memory game. That's what the Democrats do. They smack you, and then they wait for Alzheimer's to set in. And now we got Elliot, who's now talking about right from wrong. And he's back on the scene. In the meantime, he screwed up in New York State so bad that it's now being run by the blind sheikh Abdul Rahman.
Standing on the corner watching all the girls go. Matter of fact, neither do I. Then standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. I'm the cat that got the cream. And that's where I select my imaginary dish. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the girls the eye. Brother, if you've got a rich imagination, give it a whirl. Give it a try. Try standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by.
Saturday, and I'm so broke. Haven't got a girl, and that's no joke. Still I'm living like a millionaire when I take me down to Main Street.
Obama's negotiating with the Iranians. He's trying a different twist. Yes, pretty soon we'll be working on opening up a Burger King of franchises.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Captain Boycott, and it's Sunday. It's a rainy March Sunday. And it's funny because yesterday was a beautiful day, and the day before was 73 degrees in New York. And somebody said to me, March, I said, maybe we're getting a leap on spring. A head start on spring, and the guy said to me, no, this is March, and I says, you're right. The Irish have to fight the wind yet. That's the St. Paddy's Day parade. My father used to joke about that all the time, watching the counties come marching up with the big banners, and they always had the banners pointed into the wind, because it was always a windy day anytime we went to a St. Paddy's Day parade. But the parade we're going to talk about today is the one that's in Iran, where all the troops are wearing spats. Have you seen that real qualified group of warriors with their white spats alongside the missile trucks, you know. They're the only trucks that have good humor bells on them. Ding a ding, here come your nuke. Come out and get your nuke. Yeah, that's what's happening. This guy can't wait until he takes Israel off the map. And just like the new Pentagon map doesn't show New York anymore, I mean, we're going to be one of the casualties of the nuclear war. And that's what cracks me up when I see these 9-10 New Yorkers all walking around. Oh, you know, they were just mad at us. They were just mad. Yeah, you know, they have a rage built up. Oh, they have a rage built up, yeah. I seen a woman once on Fox, and she was talking about murderers. And she says, yes, the reason that they're murderers is that they're mad. They're mad because something in their lives made them mad. And after the interview, she left the studio, and she was mugged by a happy-go-lucky guy. He was a happy... Can you describe him? Yes, he was happy-go-lucky. Yeah, give me a break. Well, anyway, I'm going to give you a forecast. You see, before they announce that the draft is coming back, you're going to see a lot of build-up to the war with Iran, which is coming. And that's why we're in Iraq, because that makes that we're like across the river. You know what I mean? We're right in the zone. And what is that zone that the Twilight Zone? We're in the Twilight Zone. And Iraq is it's great that we're there because it's going to make a nice staging area. We've already got the air bases that we need. This is better than asking France for flyover permission and refueling the planes in the air. Now we can take the war direct to the enemy and the murderers of the 243 Marine, the murderers of Navy diver Robert Stethem, the collapse of TWA Airlines, which was done by terror, and the collapse of Pan Am, which was done by terror. And we're now getting into the phase where it's payback time. And we cannot let Ahmadine Ajad get a nuke. This is Bin Laden in a suit, this guy. Yeah, this guy is not the ice cream man, let me tell you. But anyway, so one of the scenes that you're going to see played over, one of the video shots you're going to see played over and over to get us ready for the invasion, and we are going to invade Iran. We're not going to invade all of Iran, but we're going to take out the coastal cities of Bandar Abbas and the other coastal cities, Shatt al-Arab, that are right on the Iraqi border. We will seize Bandar Abbas and a few other coastal towns and to protect the Straits of Hormuz so that the oil can go through. We may even seize Iranian oil wells and pump the stuff all over the world. I can't wait to see the Jolly Roger on the American aircraft carriers. But we could pump it out all over the world, and that would bring the price of oil down. And not only that, we could keep a running account on how much we owe Iran. And of course, there'll be a little skimming on the top for the Marine Corps. But anyway, and that'll be from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of big oil land. And yes, we are going for oil. It's in the Bible. All the oil belongs to us. And that's chapter and verse 10W40. But the scene that you're going to see, and I'm telling you right now, because this is how the media plays things up, for good or for bad, is going to be the opening of the first Burqa King in Iran. And you will see President Khatami, and he will be ordering the first hamburger made with real ham, because ham is now halal. But, yeah, Shia are allowed to eat ham. You didn't know that, right? Yeah, it's only the Sunnis that can't have pork. But anyway, There's a lot of jokes about Shia and Sunni. There's a big difference. And you'd be surprised if you go on the internet and you start looking up Arab websites, you won't believe what the Sunnis say about the Shia. You won't believe. You know, they show you the Islamic world. But let me tell you something. The Sunnis hate the Shia with a passion. I thought I was on an American website. There was so much hatred and violence. Yeah, the underground voice, of the silenced majority. But anyway, when you see this video, mark my words, they're going to try and pass it off. It was like, you ever see the one with the North Koreans where Kim Il-nuk, they got the guys, they're all wearing white and they got the white hats on, like the nuke chef of the day, and they're sticking the rods down into the water. And I call that the first McDonald's in Korea, and that's a different spelling than the one with the golden arches. This one is spelled E-I-E-I-O. And I like to laugh at my own jokes. It's sort of like therapy. Keeps me from going crazy. But the one, mark my words, the one video you're going to see over and over again is Khatami, President Khatami, at the opening of the first Burger King. And Burger King, you know what a Burger King is, don't you? That's an Iranian cross-dresser. And the first Burger King, you're going to see, Khatami, what are you going to have? I'm going to have I'll have a cheeseburger and the extra fries. And then you're going to see them, you see that big flame shoot out and everybody backs up. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. Say, look, this is not nuclear site. This is Burger King. Everybody's going to have burkas. But anyway, you watch for that video because it's going to be used a lot. And I'll talk to you boys and girls.
Hang in there, we'll give you a tune. You got to do a little a Cuban fantasy because the Obama administration is about to join forces with Fidel Castro. So this is for all the Cubans that were betrayed. This is, I dedicate this to Elian Gonzalez, and may he come back as a pitcher for Los Mets. Close with the Jolson song.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. Bandos running soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in GIX. I even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. The folks in GIX, I even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee. So